I want to read two other passages of Scripture as we start this morning. You don't need to turn to them. I'll read them for you, but we read from Ephesians chapter 2 just a moment ago. I want to read from Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And then in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11, where the Bible says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." You know, the Bible, when it uses the word salvation, uses it in three tenses. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. And we see that in the verses that we read. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved. In Philippians chapter 2, where it says, "Work out your own salvation," I am being saved. And in Romans chapter 13, "Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed," we shall be saved. So if somebody asks you if you're saved, you be correct in answering them and saying, "Yes, I have been saved. And I am being saved, and I will be saved." The Bible uses three different words to talk about those three different salvations. And by the way, the word salvation means deliverance. It means deliverance from some danger or evil. So in Ephesians chapter 2, I am saved. I am saved from the penalty of sin. In Philippians chapter 2, I am being saved from the power of sin. And in Romans chapter 13, I shall be saved from the presence of sin. And again, the Bible uses three different words to describe those three different tenses of salvation. When I am saved from the penalty of sin, it uses the word justification. When I'm saved from the power of sin, it uses the word sanctification. And when I will be saved from the presence of sin, it uses the word glorification. And one is built upon the other. Now, justification has to occur first. You can't get sanctified or glorified until you're justified. But when you are justified, then you can be sanctified. Don't try to be sanctified without being justified, because you can't do it. And then glorification depends on the other two. Glorification, well, I take that back. It just depends on the first one. I mean, you'd be better off going into heaven as sanctified as you could be, but you're still going to go to heaven if the only one you have is justification. Eventually, you'll be glorified. You'll take part in glorification when you're delivered from the presence of sin. Now, each one of these tenses of salvation has a blessedness associated with it. Here's the problem. Too many of us stop with justification. Too many of us stop with just being free from the penalty of sin, and we never learn what it is to be free from the power of sin, and we don't look forward to that day when we will be free from the presence of sin. So this morning, I want to talk about each one of them. And I want to encourage you that if you haven't been justified, that you get justified this morning. And if you're not working on getting sanctified, you work on getting sanctified this morning. And if you're not looking forward to getting glorified, that you start looking forward to getting glorified this morning. Say, "Preacher, boy, this is a deep sermon. Don't worry. I can't go too deep. I'm not capable." So just hang on. Here we go. We are saved from the penalty of sin when we ask Jesus to be our Savior. By nature and practice, we are sinners. We were born with a sin nature. Then one day we reached the age where we could tell the difference between right and wrong, and we chose to do wrong. And our nature turned to practice. We broke one of God's laws. Doesn't matter which one. Maybe it was the law that says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Maybe it was a law that said, honor thy father and mother. It doesn't matter. We broke a law. We knew what we were doing. We did it on purpose. And because we broke a law, we stood under the condemnation of God. We stood guilty. We stood under the penalty of breaking God's law. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And that's what the Bible was talking about in our text that we read from the book of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad you got a God that's rich in mercy? Aren't you glad you got a God that doesn't give us everything that we deserve? That's what mercy is, not getting what we deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Not of works. I mean, Paul would say it later on in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not of works, but we are saved. Out of our trespasses and sins, we are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from that wage that goes along with sin, death, by God's grace. God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And Jesus went to Calvary, as Barb sang about. He left the glories of heaven. He went to Calvary, and he died in our place. He paid the price for our sin. What must I do to be saved from the penalty of sin? Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. People might ask you, are you still a sinner? You answer that question. Yes, I'm still a sinner, but I'm no longer guilty. I'm no longer condemned. In God's sight, I've been justified. I've been made just as if I'd never sinned. When God looks at me, he does not see my sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ that I am dressed in. He sees the righteousness of his only begotten Son, who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And so I have been saved. I have been justified. And if you're not justified this morning, you can get justified by simply asking Jesus to be your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary, and thou shalt be saved. But then Jesus said, go and sin no more. This is a command. This is something that God just doesn't give us. It calls for effort. It calls for work. It calls for exertion on our part. Which brings us to the second salvation, saved from the power of sin. When I got saved and justified, I got saved from the penalty of sin, and I got a new nature. A new man moved in and lives inside of me. But here's the unfortunate thing. The old man didn't move out. The old nature still resides. It didn't go away. And that's where the struggle comes in. That's where the fight comes in. That's where Philippians 2:12 comes in, where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But here's the good news. It's not a work that we have to do by ourselves. In Philippians 2:13, the Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you." It is God which worketh in you. And notice how he works. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now what that means is, he first of all gives me the desire to do right. He gives me the desire to live my life according to this book. He gives me the desire to live my life in a way that's pleasing to God. He gives me the desire to crucify the lust of the flesh. Then the Bible says he gives me the power to do it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So he gives me the desire, and then he gives me the strength or the power or the ability to do that which he has put the desire in my mind to do. But that's where the struggle comes in. I have to choose to work in that power. I have to choose to use that strength to do what God wants me to do. I have to choose to work out my own salvation. That's why when we as Christians sort of fall off the wagon, so to speak, we cannot say and be truthful about it, "Well, Satan made me do it." Satan can't make you do anything as a Christian. He is not greater than our Savior. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We can live in the fruits of the Spirit. We can live in love. We can live in joy. We can live in peace. We can live in long suffering and gentleness. We can live in goodness. We can live in faith. We can live in meekness. We can live in temperance. But we have to work at it. God gives us the desire, and then God gives us the power. And if we choose to live in that power, if we choose to follow those desires, you can do it. Notice what that verse says. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And again, it's with fear and trembling because this is not a request. This is a command. This is an expectation that we will do it. And the fear and trembling comes because if we don't, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." In other words, if we don't try to live our life in that desire that he's given us, if we don't live our life in that power that he's given us, our God knows how to spank. He knows how to punish. And he didn't read Dr. Spock's book. So he's not worried about breaking our psyche. And he's not worried about somebody calling somebody else to report him. He's going to give us what we deserve to make us what he wants us to be. Many of you remember a man that used to go to our church named Earl Hart. Earl was one of the most faithful men that I ever knew. And I visited with Brother Earl one day, and it was after Millie had gone to heaven. I said, "Earl, if you were going to put in just to a few words the secret behind your faithfulness, how you've been so faithful over the years, what would you say would be the key? What would be the secret to your faithfulness?" And he put his hand up to his chin just for a minute and sort of stroked his chin like that. And he said, "You just got to do it. You just got to do it. You just got to do it." He said, "We know what we need to do. I mean, if we're paying attention, we know what we need to do. We just got to do it." In 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And you know, that's why we should do it. Not to avoid the punishment, not to avoid the chastening that comes from a disappointed father, but we ought to do it to make ourselves meet for the master's use. We ought to do it to make ourselves fit to do what God wants us to do. And then we can look forward to that third sense of salvation, where we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. The Bible says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We shall be like him. He shall change these vile bodies when he shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation." And we will get saved from the presence of sin. We got saved from the power of sin when we asked Jesus to be our Savior. We got saved from the penalty of sin when we asked Jesus to be our Savior. We're saved from the power of sin as we work out our salvation in that desire and power that God gives us. And one day, when we get to heaven, either by way of death or by way of the rapture, we will be saved from the presence of sin. No sin in heaven. Nothing there that defiles. No more temptation. No more trials. We'll stand amazed in his presence with a glorified body, free, free, free from all the presence of sin. So let me ask you this morning, are you saved? I hope you can answer that question. Yes, I have been saved because I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. Now, if you're here today and you've never done that, there's not a better day to do it than today. The Bible says, "Now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation." You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is separation from God. Jesus paid the penalty for you. If you ask him, he'll save you. He'll save you. Have you been saved? Yes, I have been saved. And I am being saved. And I will be saved. What about you? Have you? Why don't you just take care of it this morning? Why don't you just do what God says this morning? You're saved from the power of sin as you accept Jesus as your Savior. You're saved from the penalty of sin as you accept Jesus as your Savior. You're saved from the power as you use the desire and the power that he gives you to work out your own salvation. And someday, everybody that knows Jesus will be saved from the presence of sin. And what a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. I don't want anybody to miss it. Don't want you to miss it. You may make a decision today, if you reject Christ, that will affect you forever. Please don't do that. If you're not saved, you ask Jesus to be your Savior today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in it. Thank you for telling us that we're all sinners. Thank you for telling us there's a penalty for that sin. And Father, thank you most of all for sending Jesus to die in our place. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that has never asked Christ to be their Savior, that today you would help them see that they're a sinner and that they need a Savior. They need somebody to save them from that penalty, that death that's associated with sin. And I pray, Father, you would help them come and you would help them ask Jesus to be their Savior. I know most of us here this morning are Christians. You've given us a desire to please you, and then you've given us a power to live up to that desire. And I pray, Father, that we'd live in that power. We'd live in that desire, and that we'd work to make our lives pleasing to you. And then, Father, we look forward to that day when you'll take us to heaven, when we'll be removed from sin's presence altogether, when we'll go through that pearly gate and we'll walk that street of gold and we'll see our Savior face to face, the one who died in our place, the one who saved us by his grace. Father, what a day that will be. I pray we're all ready. And again, Father, I pray if there's somebody here that's not ready, you'll help them get ready right now by asking Jesus to save them. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.